Well, as you guys know, normally we are in the book of Revelation, but this is technically our Christmas service. So we are going to switch tracks and be in Luke chapter 1. While you're looking up Luke chapter 1, I came across an interesting discovery today. I was looking into countries where the gospel is the least shared. And I found out that Afghanistan has virtually no missionaries. And there are huge people groups in Afghanistan that have never heard the gospel. And that really struck me because we get to thinking that, well, everybody's heard the gospel, but that's not the case. And so I would encourage you this Christmas season, well, I'd encourage you to continually pray for people around the world that have not heard, that God would send missionaries, that God would send people to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And maybe that's you. I don't know, but that'd be cool. But there's lots of people that need to hear the gospel. And I know as we look in Revelation and we see that, well, in the last days, God will make it clear to the entire world. I still think the Great Commission, is our responsibility. We can't just say, well, God will make sure they hear then. We need to make sure that we're doing our part. And prayer being one of those major, tools and gifts that God has given us. So I would encourage you to pray. Pray for the people of Afghanistan. And they're in the news all the time. We hear about, the wars and all that stuff. But they need Jesus. That's what they need. That's what's going to end all of the turbulence, is a right relationship with God. Well, Luke chapter 1, picking up at verse 26. Now, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and he shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" And the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also that Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived in her old age, and this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible." Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. Let's pray, you guys. God, with a story like this, the history of your birth, Lord, help it not be ordinary. Help it not be something that we just pass over. But help us to be in awe, amazed, consumed by what really happened that day. Change us from the inside out. Jesus, you came to reach a lost and dying world. Help us to continue what you started. Help us to be your vessels. Help us to reach a world that needs you. Help us to be willing and ready to follow you no matter where you send us, no matter what you ask us to do. Bless this time, Lord. We pray this in your name, Jesus. Amen. Well, we've all heard the Christmas story. And in fact, a lot of people will come to church on Christmas and Easter, and those are the two stories that they know. I hate even calling them stories because that makes them sound like a fable. No, this is history. This is a reality. But the cool thing is there's so much in the story of Jesus' birth. There's so much that we can see about God, about the people of God, who we should be. Well, I'm so encouraged. And I got to be honest, I was kind of excited that this was our Christmas service because Revelation chapter 9 is all about like demons and hell. And this is a much happier topic. But we'll get back to demons and hell next week. But this week we get to look at the birth of Jesus. We get to look at that beautiful, glorious reality that God became a man. Well, he starts off, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. Mary, so many people have lifted her up, and so many people have given her a place and a position of honor and worship. And while she is, and we'll see, is very important and blessed by God, we want to make sure that we don't worship Mary, that we don't fall into worshiping, well, the servants of God when we're supposed to be worshiping God. Now, don't get me wrong, Mary was, well, clearly an amazing young lady, but she was just a servant. Now, it says here that she was betrothed. Betrothalness in that culture was basically marriage, but not marriage. I know that makes a lot of sense, right? So what would happen is a man and a woman would become betrothed, and they were legally married, but they didn't live together. So it wasn't complete. They would be betrothed for a year, and then at the end of that year, or when the man finished building the house, he would come and get her, and they would you know, move in as husband and wife, and at that point be complete. But if you wanted to end the betrothal period, you actually had to get a writ of divorce. And so it was so much more than just a ring or a promise like we do in our culture. It was a serious commitment. And it was a time to prove purity. It was a time to prove that you were going to remain pure for your spouse. And, well, Mary, we don't exactly know how old she was, but she would have been a young girl. She would have been in her teens. And so the reality is this is a lot, if you think about it. This is a lot for a young gal to take in. But this is the deal. She was a godly woman. And we know that because the angel shows up and says to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." The angel Gabriel shows up and basically says, "You're the bomb." Just said that on the internet. That's awesome. The thing is the angel shows up and says, "You're awesome, girl. And God's got plans for you." Well, she was young, but she was pure. She was young, but she was ready to serve God. She was young, but she was willing to do what was ever needed of her. And you got to realize that in this culture, for a young girl, especially one that is betrothed, to show up pregnant was great shame. Was great shame for the rest of her life. Was great shame for her parents. It was not a good situation. And being betrothed, even not, they could have her killed for this, for being pregnant. And so as we see Mary go through this process with the angel, you got to realize she's taking in all of the consequences, and she's taking in the whole situation, and she's evaluating serving God or fearing man. Now, I got to be honest. If one of my teenagers in the group showed up and said, I'm pregnant, but it's okay, it's God's baby, it's not going to fly. That's not going to work. Mary is the only one that can pull that off. She is the only one that had the right to say that. But, so, no, mm-mm. But the thing is she was taking in all that, and you got to know that the world looked at her and treated her. And we even see that because the Pharisees accused Jesus and said that we weren't born of fornication. I mean, they knew, and they held this against him and his mom for his whole life. No doubt the snickers, no doubt the awkward conversations as she went to the well. No doubt that as she obeyed God, she endured great humiliation, even though in her heart she knew she had done nothing wrong. Well, Mary, rejoice, he says, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. You know, so often we worry about what people think. So often we worry about what society thinks, or our friends going to think, or if I don't get that degree, or if I do get that degree, or if I don't get this job, or, well, let's worry about what God thinks. And I believe Mary was one of those people, that she was consumed with the Lord. I mean, God chose her out of all the women of her day. God chose her and said, hey, I want you to raise me. Well, the thing is, I mean, he did. God said, I'm choosing you to raise the Christ, the Messiah. I mean, Jesus is Emmanuel, God with us. This is a pretty big responsibility. But she was highly favored. She was pleasing in the eyes of God. This should be all of our desires today, that not just in this Christmas season, not just, you know, at home, not just at work, or not just at church, but we should be desiring to be pleasing to God. Your parents may have a plan for your life, but is it God's plan? Is it God's plan? You may have a plan for your life. Is it God's plan? We need to make sure. I'm pretty sure Mary, that morning when she got up and, you know, made the falafel, she probably wasn't thinking, you know, God's going to choose me to, you know, bear the Christ today. I doubt she was expecting that, but she was just serving him. And waiting to do what he wanted. Waiting to do what he wanted. Are we willing and ready to do what God wants? Man, Mary, highly favored. Those are the words I want to hear. If God showed up tonight and spoke to us individually, what would he say? What would he say to you? Hopefully it would be highly favored. Hopefully it'd be, you know, you're awesome. Hopefully it'd be keep going. But what would he say? If God sent an angel or God himself showed up, what would he say to you tonight? If you evaluate your life, if you look at who you are and what you're doing, are you in God's plan? Are you in a position to drop everything and do what God wants? Even if it's not popular. I'm pretty sure this wasn't popular with Mary's, you know, dad. I'm sure this wasn't popular with her friends. But he was willing. Are we willing today? And throughout the Bible, God just wants willing people. Not perfect people, but willing people. Because honestly, there are no perfect people. But we need to be willing to do what he wants. Willing to go where he sends us. Willing to speak to the people that he wants us to speak to. To do the ministries that he's called us to do. Whatever it is, are you willing today? He says, the Lord is with you. I can't think of anything better than God being with me. Than God being with us. As we go into the world, I want to be where God is. I want God to be with me. I want to be doing what he wants. So often, we get to go back to, my wife and I get to go back to Juarez this year. And Juarez is one of the most dangerous cities in the world. And we've gone enough years that people have just stopped telling us to not go. But I hear from people that are starting, you know, it's their first trip or whatever, that people are like, don't go, it's too dangerous. Hey, if God's calling, you need to go. If God's calling and he's sending you, maybe he's sending you to Afghanistan. Maybe tonight I said that in your heart, went, and you're like, I got to go to Afghanistan and plant a church. Maybe. That'd be a hard one. But is God, I mean, are you going to go? Well, because I want to be where God is. I want the Lord to be with me. And that's the safest place, is to be with him and where he is, regardless of what the world has to say. Well, verse 29. But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said, do not be afraid. She was a little freaked out, to be honest. And I can't fault her. I can't fault her, because if an angel showed up, and I'm like, you know, there's going to be a response. There's going to be, I'm going to freak out a little bit. So I can't fault her. She's a little bit troubled. I make these weird girly noises. And we were in Vacaville the other day. And I stood up and I screamed like a girl. And there was this whole table of people next to me. And they all kind of stopped and were staring. And I just kind of waved and awkwardly walked away. That has no relevance on anything. But this is the deal. Even in her fear, she didn't run. It's okay to be afraid. It's okay if God calls you to do something. It's okay to be scared. It's okay to be nervous. But know that if you're doing what he wants, it's the best. Know that no matter what, obeying God is the best thing you can do. Even if the world thinks you're crazy. Even if the world says that makes no sense. You're selling your home. You're quitting your job. You're going on the mission field, or you're whatever it is. I'm kind of pushing the mission field tonight. I get it. I have a heart for the mission field. I would love to see people go. But whatever it is, are you concerned with what people have to say? Are you concerned with what God has to say? And if you're afraid, hey, that's okay. God can deal with that. Most of the time when an angel shows up, people get scared. But they normally say, hey, don't be afraid. And that's what he says. He says, hey, don't be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. He comforts her by saying, you have found favor with God. God likes you, Mary. That's pretty cool. Favor with God. I hope I've found favor with God tonight. I hope you have found favor with God tonight. That we can go to bed tonight and God's going, yeah, you did good. You did good today. Well, verse 28. Just kidding. Verse 29. But when she saw him. No, verse 30. I'm doing good. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor. Wow, 31. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. The angel lays out the plan for her. The angel says, hey, this is what, I mean, you found favor with God, and you're going to have a baby. That's probably a shock. I don't think she was expecting that one. But yet, this was God's plan for her. He will be great, and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. The angel says, you're gonna give birth to the Messiah. You're going to give birth to the promised one. You're going to give birth to God. You're going to give birth to Emmanuel. That's a lot to take in. And she has some questions. I'd have some questions if an angel showed up and told me I was going to have a baby. But she has questions. And her questions aren't out of a place of rebellion, but out of a place of, question, how's this going to work? But he's going to be the one that is on the throne of his father David. And we're seeing that in the book of Revelation, that Jesus is going to come back and he's going to rule and he's going to reign. And we will rule and reign with him. Well, verse 33, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. One thing that we can't fail to remember is that our God's kingdom has no end. That Jesus isn't a passing fad. Jesus didn't just come to bring comfort for a season. Jesus isn't just going to go away. No, his kingdom is eternal and has no end. Everything else falls short. I did some reading today on what other people believe what happens when you die. There are some crazy beliefs out there. This one doctor, he said he had scientific evidence to support this, that when you die, it was the beginning of new things, and it was kind of flowery. And he said, you find yourself on a staircase, and you can go down or you can go up. And he had all this, and I'm like, are you kidding me? A staircase? And where does he get this? And his whole thing, and I read, and it just got weirder. And then I read other people's things, and it's just, there's so many crazy ideas of fulfilling the spiritual need in our heart. there are a lot of people that believe in psychics and believe in, you know, you can go to seminars on how to learn to be psychic. And I almost want to go just to be like, to mock. And be like a good weekend just to mock them. And have, you know, fake visions and just see what they, no, that's wrong. But there's people out there that really believe this stuff. And they've got degrees and I was going through some of these seminars and I was like, wow. I mean, some of the things these people claim to be able to do, they are either absolute liars or they're nuts. I mean, there's really no other option. Well, Satan is good at deceiving. But of Jesus' kingdom, there will be no end. All this other craziness that the world believes, it has an end. It's not going to last. We can't find ourselves looking to the things of this world. Our horoscope. Some person in the newspaper wrote a horoscope. Why would we believe that person? And a lot of people do. Why would we turn and say, oh, I can't go outside today because my horoscope said. I'd love to write horoscopes. That would be hilarious. I would just mess with people. wear a paper bag over your head and walk backwards. Just see, walk around town and film people. It's so good I have no control over most things. But the thing is people believe this stuff. And it has an end. That person's going to lose their job, get fired, grow old and die. You got to realize there's an end to the systems of this world, but to the kingdom of our God, there is no end. And the Bible lays it out for us that Jesus, he's born. He lives a perfect life. He dies for our sins. He's raised from the dead, and he offers us life. And we can have life abundant now and life eternally with him. And the first five chapters of Revelation talk all about the glory and the praise and the worship. And those are so amazing as we've been going through those to see the kingdom of heaven and the beauty of eternity. And of course, the last few chapters of Revelation, we get to see the new heaven and the new earth. God has plans for us, beautiful plans. His kingdom has no end. Well, verse 34, then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Good question. She was pure. She was innocent physically. And she just asked the angel, she goes, I'm pure. I've never been with a man. How is this going to work? I think that was a wise question. And the angel has an answer. Verse 35, and the angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore, also, the Holy One who is to be born will also be called the Son of God." So the easy answer is, God just put Jesus in there. I mean, people, and I've had, how did that work out? Because we all know the natural way. And Mary was a virgin when she had Jesus. And there's lots of questions. And there's crazy ideas out there about how Mary got pregnant and all this stuff. I mean, the world has tried to rationalize everything they can. No, this is the deal. God showed up. I don't know what he did, but he put Jesus in there. She's pregnant. He's God. He made us. He can do whatever he wants. So yeah, the virgin conceives that child that would die for our sins. It's kind of cool that this was a good enough answer for Mary. You know, it doesn't make much sense. God's going to overshadow you. Oh, okay, that works. I mean, we should be that receptive when God calls us to do something and we go, God, how's that going to work? And he gives us an answer. Just okay, sure, all right, let's do it. Let's just trust the Lord. Even if it doesn't make sense. I doubt that made a lot of sense to Mary, but she went, okay, it works. God's God. He knows what he's doing. Let's trust the Lord. Let's follow him. Well, verse 36. Now indeed, Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And now this is now the sixth month for her who was called barren. It's kind of cool because Elizabeth, you know, unable to have children, has this miraculous child who would be John the Baptist, who would be the forerunner for Jesus. And of course, I mean, as Jesus said, there was no one greater, you know, than John. I mean, John was the guy. And it's just proof. Maybe Mary was struggling a little bit with, how is this all going to work? And he says, hey, Elizabeth's pregnant. And we know she goes and visits, and Mary sings a song. I was going to try to sing it for you tonight, but I thought I shouldn't. But God's in the business of the miraculous. God's in the business of doing things that we don't understand. We so often wait to understand before we act. We so often wait and say, okay, God, but when this makes sense to me, then I'm going to go ahead and do it. Well, that's crazy. It just needs to make sense to God. And we need to obey. We need to listen. We need to follow. He goes on in verse 37 and says one of the coolest verses, "For with God, nothing will be impossible." For with God, nothing will be impossible. Maybe you're facing something today that seems impossible. But note that he doesn't say, you know, with you know, Calvary Chapel Chico, all things are impossible. He doesn't say that if you're in the United States, nothing will be impossible. He doesn't say that if you speak English, nothing will be impossible. No, he says with God, nothing is impossible. I love the kind of it's a Calvaryism that where God guides, God provides. And it's true. If God wants you to do something, he's going to provide the way. He's going to make it happen. He's going to open doors. And I've seen that in my life more and more as I get older, how God provides, how God takes care of things. He says, hey, I want this to happen, and he makes it happen. For with God, nothing will be impossible. I'm sure Mary needed to hear that as she was balancing out all the worries and all the concerns and even the joys of being used by God. Hey, with God, nothing is impossible. Then Mary said, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I love this because Mary simply says, "I'm yours, God. I'm yours. Behold the maidservant. I'm yours. I'm willing to be used. I'm willing to submit to this plan." Well, that would forever change her life. That would forever leave her marked and different. But she knew she was obeying God. "Behold the maidservant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." How many of us have or will or want to say that to God tonight? God, here I am. Let it be according to your word. Use my life. Take me completely. Use me. We get to thinking we have to do what we're currently doing. Is it what God wants you to do? Are you doing what God wants you to do? There's nothing greater than being in the will of God. I constantly pray, God, help me be the man I'm supposed to be. Because I want to be who he wants me to be. I realize that I haven't reached perfection. And I won't until I stand in front of him. I want to be where he wants me to be. I want to be in the ministry that he wants me to be. I want to be doing what he's called me to do. Not what's convenient or easy or makes the most money or has the most fame. Am I doing what God wants me to do? Are you doing what God wants you to do? Today, can you just say to God, here I am. Let it be what you want. Let my life be what you want. I believe God has plans for each one of us. I believe that God has something so much more than just living and dying. So much more than just going through the steps of life. But he wants to radically use us. And we have an interesting mission field here, even in Chico, because there are thousands of college kids in this town that come from all over the world that need Jesus. We have an interesting opportunity. Maybe you go to school and you know a kid from Afghanistan. You don't have to go to Afghanistan. You can just witness to him. Airfare is much less. He flies here. But that may be. Maybe search out some of the kids in school. I'm not saying that we be deceptive and you know, try to make friends. You know, no, make friends and legitimately make friends, but make friends to share Jesus with them. Make friends and be genuine, but let's share Jesus with the people. There are so many people that are going to leave or have already left Chico that are going back to their hometown. And did they hear about Jesus? Hopefully they come back next semester and get another shot. But what an opportunity we have here in Chico. What an opportunity we have to share the gospel with so many people. To say, God, use me. God, transform me. What are you doing for the Lord? What am I doing for the Lord? We need to be constantly evaluating. Well, Mary steps in with both feet. And she, well, as we know, chapter 2 of Luke, and it came to pass in those days. And we see that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. That Mary and Joseph, they head off. They obey God. Matthew talks about Joseph, his confrontation with the angel and his battle with what God was doing. But I'd encourage you to go home and read chapter 2 tonight. I'd encourage you to see the birth of Jesus Christ. The reality that God took on human flesh and dwelt among us. That reality that would ultimately give us salvation. Jesus submitted. He didn't have to come. He chose to come. And he submitted to the will of the Father. And he did what was needed to be done. Mary did what was needed to be done. Are we doing what is needed to be done? Let's pray, you guys. Heavenly Father, with a brief look, we bring our lives before you. And it is a little scary to hand our life over and submit to you. But we want to say, here we are. Use us. We want to say, we're willing to do whatever you ask us to do. Jesus, we want to find favor in your eyes. Help us to love the way that you loved, to live the way that you lived, to put others first, even to the point of death. And Jesus, I pray that you would bring the gospel to Chico. That you would rock this town for your glory. Use us. Use us in our jobs, in our classes, in our homes, in our relationships, to share you with the world around us. Now, with everybody's eyes closed and nobody looking around, if you're here, whether you come all the time, whether you go to a different church, whether you're new to church, I don't know everybody's story, but what I do know is that Jesus loves you. What I do know is that he died for you on the cross. He rose from the grave, and he wants to give you everlasting life. And are you willing, like Mary today, to say, I'm here, use me? Are you willing to yield your life for God? not just a religious person, but to be committed completely for Jesus. If you're here today and you've never given your life to the Lord, but you want to, you want to say, Jesus, forgive me for my sins, come into my heart, be my Savior. I want to live for you and with you. I'm just going to ask that you raise your hand and I'll lead you in a simple prayer, not to me, not to this church, but to Jesus Christ. Is there anybody here today you want to say, Jesus, come into my heart, be my Savior? Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful that you use ordinary people like us. Jesus, we choose you. We thank you for this Christmas season, the beautiful gift that you came, you lived a perfect life, and you died and rose from the grave. Help us just to be on fire for you, not because we have to, because we're consumed by you, in love with you, and sold out for you. Lord, as we worship you, this last song or two, whatever it is, Lord, help us just to be overwhelmed with your Spirit, with your presence. We love you, Jesus, and we praise your holy name. Amen.